banquet.
And that was the best meal you ever had? Sounds real mouth-filling.
No, that was a memorable meal, all right, but not the best I ever had.
What was, then?
Kick out the fire before we go, and I'll tell you about it.
The afternoon was wearing on, the sun beginning to sink toward the west. They were out on a rocky platform above the steep falls, with the thunderous sound of the tumbling water as a permanent backdrop.
Okay, tell me.
Best meal ever? I was 16, maybe 17. I got taken by a sec patrol halfway along the Big Miss. Picked me off a sinking boat along with 7 dead men and a woman priest. Baron was a run-ass bastard with no nose. Tried to, use me. I told him I'd chill him. He threw me in a cell that filled with muddy water and shit twice a day, up to damn near the ceiling. Got bread thrown in, but it was always covered in the shit, you know? Came close to starving.
For how long?
Lost count. I remember throttling a rat and eating it raw, but it made me wretch. I reckon around 10 days. Each time he came and told me to... I refused.
What happened?
Guard came in on about the 11th day. I took his knife and I gutted him. Then I went and found the Baron in his room, jolted to the eyes. I woke him and cut his throat open.
Ryan had first severed the man's genitals and jammed them into his gaping mouth. But he chose not to mention this to his son.
Good.
There was a bowl of water at the side of his bed. Don't forget, I was this naked skeleton, covered in layers of stinking ooze. I washed my hands in this bowl. I remembered it had a blue and white picture of a little bridge and a kind of a temple on it. I wiped my hands on the sheets of the bed.
He thought he'd heard the sound of cautious movement, but Ryan looked around, and he and Dean were still alone.
Go on.
By the bowl was a porcelain plate, real thin and delicate. On it was a single peach, fresh and ripe and juicy and tender. Well, I ate it. And that was the best damned meal I ever had in my life.
Last time I heard you tell that story, lover, it was a pigeon, not a rat, and an orange, not a peach. You awake?
No, I'm fast asleep.
Can't stand the pace.
Ryan rolled on his side, seeing Christy propped up on one elbow, her tumbling, fiery hair seeming almost black in the stark moonlight. The blanket had slipped down, revealing her breasts, shadowed and splendid. She was smiling at him.
Twice is enough for starters.
I call that big talk for a one-eyed old man. Been too long without you to be satisfied with a couple of quick ones.
Quick ones?
Shh. You'll wake the others. Don't want them all to know about your incessant demands on my body.
Ryan ran his hand through her hair, seeing the dancing sparks of pure fire burning in the still warm air. They were lying a little distance from the others, at the center of a grove of tall sycamores.
I think I can feel another of those incessant demands creeping up on me.
Her hand moved under the blankets, across the flat, muscular planes of his stomach, lower into the curling tendrils of wiry hair. She cupped him in the palm of her hand, squeezing, sighing as he stirred into hard life again.
I can feel it as well, lover. Let's do something about it.
She eased him onto his back, straddling him, gripping his body with her powerful thighs, guiding him with her nimble fingers, gasping with pleasure as he thrust it into her.
Right there.
Christy lowered her head toward him, her hair falling into place like a sentient veil.
It's so good to have you back safe with me, lover.
It's good to be back.
I love you, Ryan.
Yeah, I love you too.
Christy had seen the thin column of pale smoke, following it back for a couple of miles, eventually finding father and son relaxing after the meal of fresh-caught fish. There was plenty of game in the forested hills, and already they'd smoked and dried a brace of goat as well as 3 small deer. And there were ample fish in a shaded pool a quarter mile upstream. Some of the livestock from the farm had found its way along the same trail. JB and Mildred had gone to stay in a box canyon about 4 miles east in order to tend them. When Christy led Ryan and Dean back into the camp, Doc was shaving with the honed blade of a knife, using a second knife as a mirror. He nearly cut himself as he spun around, and he rushed to embrace Dean and Ryan. Jack and Christina were playing pinochle on a red-edged horse blanket. Considering the cruel blow that fate had dealt them with the arrival of the infected travelers and the subsequent destruction of their home, they were in surprisingly good spirits. Most of the first couple of hours was taken up with mutual telling of stories, filling in the gaps left in Christie's notes, and recounting what had happened in and around the sulfur mines during the rescue of Dean from the talons of Grigory Zemyanin. Ryan told them about the last battle, with occasional interruptions from his son.
"Oh, marvelous! Yes, that's where the corn is cut, my friends. Not to be gainsaid, Ryan. Oh, the rogue and peasant slave."
The sun was sinking out of sight, and Ryan agreed that it would be foolish to risk getting caught by nightfall, halfway to the canyon where the armorer and Mildred were camped. After their third round of lovemaking, Ryan lay with his arm resting across Christie's shoulder.
"Might get up and have a drink of that spring water in a minute. Warm night."
"Been hotter. It's cooler up where Mildred and JB are settled."
"Things still okay between them?"
"Sure are. Better than okay. Seems to be a real solid relationship going on between those two."
"You think they want to settle down together someplace?"
"Doesn't everybody love her?"
There was a long stillness between them. Ryan didn't move, and eventually Christie's hand found his and clasped it firmly.
"Seeing Jack and Christina together."
"I know.
Good places around here. Plenty of land for the taking."
"Sure. Clean water, climate's great. No new hotspots."
"But there's always something around the next corner, Ryan. Something to keep you moving on. Dragons to be slaughtered and innocent maidens to be rescued."
"Don't get like that."
"Never mind, lover. Most times I push it way back. Then it comes creeping forward again, like a sore place you can't stop yourself from picking at."
"Any sign of stickies?"
"Rather talk about muties than us settling down, eh, lover?" "Stickies? Jack reckons they're around in these hills."
"Any proof?"
"Some old miner's shacks burned out."
"Gotta get some water. These shacks, couldn't they have been fired 100 years ago? Or any time since?"
"Jack says not. Very recent. Even before we arrived here, he'd been finding tracks of stickies. Says there could be as many as 50 up in the high country."
Ryan stood, stretching. He pushed his hands onto his hips and arched his back to try to ease an old stiffness from the middle vertebrae. A pinched disc had been Mildred's diagnosis, sometimes squeezing a nerve and putting a muscle into spasm on the right side of his spine.
"You mean up where JB and Mildred are staying?"
"Mm-hmm. But Jack doesn't seem to think that they'd be much of a threat to JB, not with all of his experience."
"I guess not. But 50's a shitload of stickies to have hiding someplace around you. They're sneaky bastards. Might be a better idea if we all kept in the same camp."
Ryan walked and knelt by the stream, cupping his hands and drinking a copious draft from the cold water. The more he thought about it, the less he liked the idea of the armorer being alone in an isolated box canyon, even with Mildred sharpshooting to help him. The good thing about stickies was that they generally didn't function well in groups. They were too uncontrollable and triple crazy for that. But the thought of 50 of them... The next morning brought another wonderfully bright and sunny day. In the early hours, just before the hesitant light of the false dawn, Ryan had woken to hear the distant rumbling of a chemstorm, the southern horizon a dazzling display of pink and purple spears of lightning. It was moving toward the far west and faded away within the hour. Dean and Doc cooked breakfast, eating some venison in a small iron cauldron, while eggs spat and chattered in a shallow skillet. Christie saw Ryan looking questioningly at the eggs.
"Mildred said eggs were safe, long as they'd already been laid before those plague victims arrived. We got quite a few sealed jars of preserve and jellies, and some bottled plums and apples."
Christina came limping across from the stream, carrying a bucket of water in her right hand, leaning over to balance it. Ryan was about to help her when he caught the warning in Jack's ruby eyes, and he sat again.
"Gonna meet with JB and Mildred today?"
"Yeah. Dean best stay here and stock up on his strength."
"Aw, Dad, you never..."
"Dean."
"All right, Dad.
I'll come along."
"That'd be good."
Everyone turned to look at Jack, but he glanced ostentatiously toward the stream and didn't speak.
"Of course you can go."
"Ryan, you mind if I..."
"Glad to have you along, Jack. You know that." Doc?
At your service, my dear fellow. What can I do for you?
You can stay here with Christina and the boy, all right?
Oh, calamity. And I was so looking forward to clambering 4 miles across a landscape not unlike the Devil's Hind